Welcome to the Cross Council Podcast. We believe negative emotions shouldn't run your life. We invite you to take a deep dive into this challenging transformational journey that goes far beyond this podcast. Join Executive Director and Expert Facilitator Steve Freitag and me, John Crevillion, as we discuss how to deeply experience the love and truth of Jesus. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast. If you're joining us this week and you haven't seen or listened to last week's podcast, that was the beginning of a series that me and Steve here are doing, just tackling trauma as a whole. It's a big subject. It's a very heavy subject. So when we jump into this, we're going to be mid-conversation. I haven't decided where we're going to cut it yet. I'll try to make this work as best I can. But please, if you haven't seen that episode yet, go back and watch that one, because we're just going to pick up right where that one left off with maybe a little bit of a minute or so of the end of that conversation on episode one before we pick up on episode two here. I've really enjoyed these talks, Steve. This is such an important thing to go over. This is such an important topic to go over. And sometimes people are apprehensive about approaching it because it's so big. But I've really enjoyed these conversations. What do you think so far?
Yeah, I think that's really great. And I think some of the comments that you had were really insightful. And I think people will appreciate what you have to say in this next episode as well. I just want to pause, two different pauses right now. Yeah. Since this is a new podcast, I just wanted to make sure that we're not going to shove this down people's throats, but our biggest fundraiser of the year is a golf outing that we do in the Madison area. So June 28th, we need golfers, we need volunteers, we need sponsors. Go to our website. John's got that all set up. So please check that out. End of that commercial. Number two, because this won't even get into maybe the third podcast, but I think this is really important. It's just something that needs to get thrown out there. And I love this definition as well. You know, you heard my definition of trauma or emotional trauma, but when it comes to things like PTSD, right, which is trauma related, the way that we look at PTSD is what once was true is no longer true, even though it feels true. So that's really important. We didn't really hit on that in either side of this two-part section, and then we'll probably hit it that in three. But just to plant that seed, it's you know, what once felt true, right? Maybe you were back there and you were in some terrible circumstance, and a belief stuck in that place and in your heart, and then 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, something else happens, and it's as if you're thrown back into that, I know this sounds weird, like that 8-year-old little boy, little girl, whatever, and you're responding the exact same way because that thing has never been reconciled. It's never been resolved. So I think that's a really good definition, and it gives a little bit more context to our whole discussion on trauma.
Yeah, good word. Good word. Yeah, we hope you guys enjoy. And again, like we've said in the past episodes, like if you have any questions or comments of your own, shoot us an email at office@crosscouncil.com. Let us know your thoughts, and we'd love to hear from you. And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay, so emotional trauma occurs when you interpret an event in a way that leads you to perceive a diminished sense of your own value, worth, connection, and/or dignity. We're all looking for a sense of that we're valued. We're looking for a sense of worth or approval. And I think connection is there too. I think approval and connection work together with the sense that how lonely we are as a society. And of course, our dignity. You know, there's maybe Whitney Houston told us this years ago, right? But you can't take away my dignity.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I don't know if I agree with the whole philosophy of that whole song, The Greatest Love. I think the greatest love is actually the Lord, I'm thinking, but not the love of myself, but I, you know, whatever. Don't want to stomp on her grave.
No.
So anytime we buy into this false belief or, you know, any false belief, something that's not into alignment with God's truth, and not to overstate it, but we kind of experience trauma on some level. I don't want to make this all about trauma, but I think there's something traumatic in believing falsehoods about ourselves, about our identity.
Absolutely.
So I know people know this illustration, but it's kind of like that analogy of crumpling up a dollar bill, right? You think of a dollar bill as a symbol of your inherent worth and value, right? That dollar bill. So just like a dollar bill, which it maintains its value regardless of its physical condition, right? I mean, unless you like burn it or shred it, right?
Right. Yeah.
But you know, your worth and value as a person remain intact regardless of, you know, whatever you've gone through. So, crumpling it up, whatever, it doesn't diminish its value. You know, it's probably illegal to, I think it's illegal to write on it. It's illegal to photocopy it, right? But you can't change the value other than those extreme measures that you take. A dollar bill is a dollar bill. So yeah, nobody's been given a $100 bill and says, oh, this isn't smooth enough. This isn't intact enough, right? It has a crease in it. I don't want your $100 bill. I don't think that works.
No.
Not the kind of garage sales I've been to. I don't know if I've seen a $100 bill at a garage sale.
No.
Well, that actually just triggered a memory. But anyway. So I guess what we're saying is no matter what setback or difficulties that you encounter in life, your intrinsic worth and dignity remain unchanged. Okay.
Yeah.
So you may go through these moments where you feel bent out of shape or broken, but that doesn't diminish your inherent value as a human being. Now that's a lovely thing to say. And there are people that can say it better than me with more passion, but just because somebody says it or you say it and heads are nodding, right? You can be in some inspirational church service or listening to something on your phone or computer, and you've got somebody that's laying all this beautiful stuff out that's fully scripturally based. So you can agree with it and go, that is awesome. And you can be inspired by it for a while. You can be encouraged, but it doesn't necessarily change the deeper things inside of your heart. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel you. Gotcha.
Yeah, because we can preach on how valuable we are, how deserving of love and respect and dignity we are, regardless of our imperfections or hardships or like your life experiences. No one's disqualified. You know, that harkens back to an earlier podcast, right? We're never disqualified. I don't think, but we might feel it, and then that has a profound impact on us. So, yeah, I know you've heard that illustration before, but yeah, anything you want to add to that?
I mean, it, you know, it really highlights the importance of, you know, just understanding the priority of things, understanding that it is not us who define our value. It is Christ who does. And, you know, like a lot of times that gets out of line. And so we like to try to help people get that back into focus and be like, well, okay, no, I know you feel X, but Jesus says Y about you. And he's the ultimate authority here. Which is great. Good news. You're wrong. You know, respectfully, of course, and with love.
And it's really true and it's crucial really to remember that our worth isn't contingent upon our achievements, our appearances, thank goodness, or even our past experiences, right? So we're valuable simply because we're created in the image of God, right? And that's a truth we can hold on to, right? That's the, at least the big band-aid when we're in a bad place emotionally, right? So regardless of what life throws our way, we can at least hold on to that. Like, Lord, I don't know if I'm fully embracing this, but I at least know in my head to some degree, my heart knows a little bit, but I'm going to hold on to that as much as I can.
Exactly. And, you know, like nothing, I forget where, and you can probably remind me of this, but like, you know, it's repeated throughout the Bible that, you know, our worth needs to come in Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else is worth anything, first and foremost. Nothing else matters, you know, versus who we are in Christ. And the beauty of that is nothing can change that. You know, it's a going back to the dollar analogy, it's a stable currency. It doesn't change. Like the value of it doesn't fluctuate in that sense. So, you know, having that perspective of like, yeah, everything else might be bad in life, but even then, you know, regardless of those things, good or bad, I am still a child of God. My value is still set here because Jesus said it here. And the more that I recognize that in my life, the more freedom I'm going to have.
Right. Yep. And so, yeah, as we navigate this world, right, because it's a broken world, there's a lot of complexities of trauma or life in general and the effects of it. You know, it is, like I was saying before, it's essential to hold on to that, right? And and extend grace to others and even grace to ourselves and compassion to others and ourselves as we kind of go on this journey.
So, yeah, I guess another question then, as we move along the path here. Do you believe that there's a distinction between saying I have trauma versus I have been in traumatic situations?
Sure. And part of this is born from just some of the feedback that we're getting from Jenny as she does her intro calls. And we certainly don't want to be the speech police in any way or discourage people just because they've used that term before. Like I have trauma. But I think it's an important nuance to explore because she's getting a lot of that. Like I have trauma. I'm not even sure what that means. I have trauma, but as we look at that, like saying I have trauma can sometimes lead people to perceive that it's permanent or it's this defining characteristic of themselves. It's like stamping victim on your forehead. You know, it might make it harder for them to see beyond that label. And it might hinder their journey, their healing process as they seek freedom from Jesus.
So it's like boxing yourself into this identity of being a victim rather than seeing yourself as someone who's experienced difficult things. So, but what about the saying, I have been in traumatic situations? How does that change the narrative?
Well, then there's a way out, right? Because when you frame it that way, you know, I've been in traumatic situations or even I've survived traumatic situations. I've gone through those. Okay. There's certainly an acknowledgement. It's not like somebody goes through this horrible memory and we're like, well, that was too bad for you. Okay. Jesus, do something here. Right. You got to be a little bit better with people than that. Right. So we do acknowledge quite often that that had to be hard, but not in the sense of I'm just perpetuating your victimhood or your victim mentality. Right. But by saying I've been in these situations and maybe I've got carrying something because I had a distorted interpretation, maybe understandable, but still distorted. So, but by doing the reframing of things, it shifts the focus away from defining yourself by your trauma, by your history, what's happened to you, things that you've done. In fact, that's a big deal in PTSD with soldiers. It's not just what they've seen, it's what they've done. And that's just the dirty little secret. It's like some of them were asked to do things that were pretty horrible. And it's not just, I saw all these things. I saw my buddies killed, or I saw, you know, innocence, or I saw this or this. It's I did this. That's a huge thing. So so we want to put the emphasis on people owning what they've carried, not the events, but what they've carried. So, you know, again, we don't want to just police people's words. I'm not like that at all, but I think the way we speak is powerful. And the more that we give less of that, even on the front end, less power to the events, I think that's helpful. It's not what has happened to us. It's how we've interpreted what's happened to us. And that other message that resonates at Cross Council all the time, we feel what we believe. We feel what we deeply believe inside of us. So that's what we're trying to do by not letting those events or even diagnoses define who you are.
Paul prays in Ephesians 3 that we would be rooted and established in love. Love that surpasses knowledge so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. At Cross Council, it's miraculous to watch people transform by the love and truth of Jesus. But some people need a little extra help. We never turn anyone away because of their inability to cover their session fees. Would you be willing to cover that cost for somebody? Somebody who is looking for freedom from something in their life? We are inviting you to be a part of what Cross Council is doing here. Would you be willing to donate to cover someone? Bless them, though you've never met them. You can do that today at crosscouncil.com.
Yeah, honestly, that makes sense. By focusing on the events rather than the identity of being traumatized. You know, people can affirm their agency. They can affirm their agency in navigating that really tough experience.
Right. I mean, a big part of this is having people understand that they know more than they think. And as God is the architect of their brain, they're the architect of their mind. And the beliefs that they've come to, it's choices they've made. I mean, on really deep levels. So as we recognize that we're the ones that came to these beliefs, we could also recognize that as we do this deep dive, we can, obviously with the Holy Spirit's help, we can start to deconstruct some of those beliefs that we've had in our mind for a long time. And so it really gives people this sense of empowerment. I was asking a group of people, like, what does it take? Like, what are the ingredients of hope? Not what is hope, what are the ingredients of hope? And it's like, if you were to ask somebody, wow, what's the recipe for this cake? And people start describing what cake is. Okay, well, I know what cake is. Oh, yeah, and I like it, you know, with two layers of frosting. I like this. You know, but okay, yeah, but how do you make it? Well, boy, you can have them in different flavors. No, no. What are the ingredients? I need the recipe. And I think even with hope, like for hope to really take root in somebody, they have to have like steps to get to whatever that is. They have to have a plan in some way. It's not just, well, I just hope in Jesus and there's nothing to hinge on that. It's like, well, you can hope in Jesus all day long without it taking roots.
Right. But exactly.
Yeah. Like, I hope in Jesus that my anxiety will go away. Someday he'll just take it away from me. He's free to do that. But what if it's, wow, I have bought into these lies deep inside. I have these things buried inside of me and I'm just starting to recognize those things. And if I walk along this path with Jesus and we start to unpack those things, and if I make those choices to go to the pain, to identify those lies and stick with the emotion as much as necessary and hold those things out to Jesus, lie by lie, memory by memory, he starts to untangle those things for me as I partner with him in this. That's a plan to realize that he can help me sort this out in a very tangible way. And the idea of the memory is so important because that's how we measure things. Instead of just, oh, I don't know if God loves me. God, show me your love. Okay, what's the context there? I know people want to do that in the present, but maybe we've put a cap on certain things that are keeping us from actually experiencing his love. So that so many people walk out of here saying, I finally have hope for the first time. There's a path. This is a Holy Spirit-driven, Christ-centered approach to healing. Like, nothing of any value happens here without the Lord, but there's also this partnership that we have with him. So if it's just, I have this diagnosis, well, then you can just swim around in this disempowering state of being instead of Jesus and I, we're going to walk this thing out and I'm going to maybe even plug into a community that is also on that same journey. That's what's beautiful about the classes. As you see people start to gravitate toward one another because they realize they're not the only one struggling with this, this, and this. Like, oh, your journey was different, boy. You still came to the same thoughts, conclusions, beliefs. Okay, man, I'm going to walk alongside you as a brother or a sister as we sort this out. I can't fix you, but I'll be along with you in the journey and we'll share stories and we'll encourage one another and maybe be inspirational and maybe spread the word. So. Yeah, that's a better plan than just, oh, I just have faith or hope or whatever that is.
Right, exactly.
So yeah. So we acknowledge the past traumatic situations, right? We know that individuals can recognize that they have the ability to choose those things, right? And not see themselves as just damaged goods, because that's one of the core beliefs or even a conclusion people can come to is, I'm just damaged goods. And so when they believe they're damaged goods, and they might have been carrying that since they were 5 years old, I'm just damaged goods. 8 years old, I'm just damaged goods. Well, then what are you thinking with that?
It just kind of brought up an interesting side note of like, you know, I imagine people around them respond differently to that mentality too, right? Like hearing someone say they've been through traumatic situations might evoke more empathy and understanding rather than just seeing them as inherently just damaged goods, you know?
Right. Because so, yeah, people take a core belief or this deep conclusion that I'm damaged goods, and they, boy, there's so many different ways they can spin from that. They can be so particular with somebody. I'm going to make sure I have somebody that never touches any of those buttons, and I'm just going to control that, and everything's just got to be lined up and perfect all the way to the other end of the spectrum. And it's just, well, it doesn't really matter. You can treat me however you want because I'm damaged goods anyway, you know, and anywhere in between.
Yeah.
But the power of those lies is just immeasurable. So, yeah. And again, I think what happens, especially in community, and I'm just looking forward to more and more community, you know, during COVID, we kind of lost some of that here in Madison, and La Crosse has a better sense of community right now. And so I'm a little bit jealous, a God-driven jealousy. God's jealous about certain things. So I hope it's a good jealousy, not out of insecurity. Right. But, sure. You just start to relate to people better. You know, and it's like, okay, you went through this, but there is hope. There is a way out of this. And so instead of people trying to be one another's savior and just look at things through the lens of trauma, oh, you poor thing, this has happened to you. So we're just going to put our arm around you and just let you bleed on the floor. But we got our arm around you as you continue to lose blood. So you, of course, want to be supportive and empathetic and compassionate, but you also want to say, hey, this is the hand you were dealt, and I'll walk alongside you, but you still have to pick up your cross. This is a cross that you have to bear. This is a load that only Jesus can walk you through.
So yeah. So in summary, saying I have trauma might unintentionally reinforce like negative perceptions or feelings of helplessness, while I have been in traumatic situations, shifts the focus to the events themselves and promotes a more empowering narrative. Yeah, it's important to remember, I guess, that the choice of language is highly personal, and what feels empowering or detrimental is different depending on who you're talking to.
Right. Somebody might say, you know, the same words, but one person, that's just the way they articulate it and they haven't put much thought into it. But other people kind of wear it as a badge kind of thing. So we don't want to be too judgmental with this either, but it's just one of those, hey, check this out to see if you have embraced something that's not really yours to embrace. And I'd love to get more into, like our identity, like what it truly means to tease out some of those ideas of God's righteousness in us, you know, that fancy theological term imputed, like given that thing and being adopted. Maybe we can do that, do that next.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been the Cross Council Podcast. Please remember to subscribe, rate, share with your friends, and look for us on social media. The world will become a much better place, and Jesus will be seen in a much better light the more we are transformed by His truth and love. We'll see you next time, everybody.